I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Grant and Danny radio program is brought to you exclusively by the law firm Condori and Murad, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate, administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. We're taking you up to 6:30. We've got Caps tickets for you at 4 o'clock today on The Fan. At some point here in the next few minutes, Danny, I do want to get into this hour, a way too early ESPN mock draft where they did a top 32 picks and assigned them to teams, because I thought what position they had Washington going was pretty fascinating. But in the wake of our wide receiver conversation, let's pull back the scope here to 10,000 feet. I want to talk NFC and where the Commanders fit in the big picture right now and get to our Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day. Metropolitan Moving and Storage, local, long-distance, residential, commercial, 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. The question is, what's your level of confidence that the Commanders make the playoffs right now? They've played 6 games. They go every other. Win-loss, win-loss, win-loss. And so they're due to win and get to, hopefully, 4-3 through 7. And then they've got the toughest 3-game stretch maybe of their entire year, certainly outside of the division, on the other side of the Cowboys, at Kansas City Monday Night Football, and then at home, Sunday Night Football, Seattle, and against the Detroit Lions. Do you right now, this moment, think Washington makes the playoffs? Yes or no? 800-636-1067, that is the question.
So, smart people who do these sorts of things, they don't just look at Washington, they're looking at Tampa and Seattle and Atlanta and the 49ers and the Rams and every team, and they're running all these simulations. That loss in terms of playoff probability, according to computers, now of course the game isn't played on computers, that doesn't mean their schedule should be canceled, etc. They had about a 60%, according to some models, mid-50s% according to other models. Had they beaten the Bears, they'd have that really good percentage of making the postseason. That loss dropped them to 1-3 in the NFC. That loss dropped them to 35.9%, I think, according to the CBS predictor. 35%. Again, that doesn't mean you canceled the season. That doesn't mean everyone should be fired. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're looking to next year. Play the game, see what happens. You never know. But the point is, that was a costly loss. And I think people are just irritated because they lost in primetime and it was, you know, a big hype-up game and it didn't work real well. I don't think people fully realize how damaging potentially that loss was to drop almost 30% in terms of your playoff probability based on another conference loss. They've lost 3 conference games to this point with a bunch of them, to come against division rivals, etc. It's going to be a crowded NFC field. And when you start to look at everybody else's road and their map, a lot of teams have a lot better chance now than Washington does.
They're divisional tiebreaker friendly right now. They are about as bad as you can be in terms of wild card tiebreaker friendly. And it's too early to really care a lot about that, but the numbers don't get to change. In other words, you're now just digging yourself out of a gigantic hole. You have almost no margin for error in these games, like the Seattle game, honestly. That's now massive. because that's a team you're vying with for a wild card spot. The Minnesota game, when you play them, will be there in Minneapolis, thanks to Condori and Murat. On December 7th, that becomes a huge game. Clearly, the division games are always going to be the most important. And they're 1-0 in the division because they beat the Giants and they've yet to play the Eagles or the Cowboys. That changes this week. But they still have five division games left. So if you go 6-0 somehow in the division, which is not realistic, but let's just say hypothetically,
it changes a lot.
Then all of a sudden the math changes, your record's going to be really good, and you're probably winning the division. So who cares what you do in the NFC outside of the division, basically. But at 3-3 with losses to Chicago, better than you in the NFC standings right now. Atlanta, better than you in the NFC standings right now. And Green Bay, better than you in the NFC standings right now. You've just made it really, really hard for yourself. Look at the NFC playoff picture at the moment. And again, too early to really dive too deep, but the numbers won't change. Only four teams. The Cowboys, who could change that head-to-head this weekend. The Cardinals, the Giants, and the Saints are lower in the NFC standings than Washington. 12th out of 16. Now, at six games in, that's fine. You're also tied with the Panthers, who are 3-3. But again, they have a better conference record by two games. So they have the tiebreaker, just to give you the example of where that can bite you in the butt. That's why you're 12, not 11. And then you're behind Chicago and Atlanta as non-playoff teams that you've already lost to. You do get to play Minnesota, which helps. But they could not have gotten off to a worse start in terms of if you're going to be a 10-win team trying to get a wild card, you pick the wrong ones to win. The Raiders, the AFC West.
Chargers.
You pick the wrong ones to lose as far as going 3-3 at this point.
I think that's the summary. Again, I look at the entire NFC West, save Arizona's 4-2. Atlanta is now maybe not as fluky as we thought. Their aberration is the loss to Carolina, not the other way around. They've been competitive and even pretty good in four of their five games. Really close loss to Tampa in week one, where they cut their kicker afterwards. You look at the NFC North, we feel like there's a pretty good track record there with Green Bay, with Detroit, and Minnesota's a team I have a tough feel for, but still, they're 3-2. They're in a good spot. You do the math, it's going to be really... Last year, Seattle was 10-7. They were 10-7 and didn't make the postseason. There's going to be somebody like that this year, whether it's 9-8, 10-7, and Washington is the worst of those in terms of their position right now because they're 1-3 in the NFC. If they were in the AFC, it'd be a different story. I think it's less crowded. The top, it's the division winners, and there's going to be an 8-9 team probably that makes it. Or just, again, doing some of the look-ahead math right now. Only one team from the AFC North because that division looks horrendous. The AFC South has two teams that are worth a darn, but maybe Houston comes on. But you see the point. The NFC is more crowded, right? And there's a tougher road for those that would try to make the wild card simply by virtue of some of these tiebreakers. And you've dug yourself a hole in that regard.
Here's the best thing Washington has going for itself, is that I do think the NFC East is much weaker than we anticipated. Starting with Philadelphia, who has been outscored on the season. I mean, Washington is the only team in the division with a positive score differential right now. It's not a good score differential.
But it's positive.
By any means, but it's in the positive. They are plus 32, which is fine. It's actually solid.
Yeah, it's better than the Rams who are in first place. It's better than the Bucks who are in first place at 5-1.
Philly is -1. Dallas is -6. The Giants are -23. So Washington's in an okay spot in terms of some of the peripherals you would look at to see how good a team is after a six-game sample. Philly's 4-2. They probably should be 3-3. A blocked kick saved their bacon. And then even at that 3-3, that would have been in a... You know, one of those wins in a game where they get outscored by 12 in the second half.
Yep.
But my point is, to only be a game back in the division, the Eagles looking susceptible, not really have anything to hang their hat on, frustrated receivers who are uninvolved, running game not as good as it was last year, Hurts not playing at a high level. Defensively, I think they're pretty good, but they're coming off of a complete clunker where they just got eviscerated on that side of the ball last time out by the Giants of all teams. It does not look to me like Philly's going to go 12-5. Their ceiling would be 11-6, which would mean they go 7-4 the rest of the way. I could definitely see that.
I could see that.
But it is possible that it takes 10 to win the division. And if it does, then Washington's got a very, very good chance to do that if they can put some hay in the barn. If we're saying Dallas is super flawed, Philly's super flawed, we've already seen them beat the Giants, who aren't very good even though they're getting better. Maybe you go 4-1 in those games. And now I got you to 7 wins. You basically only need to win 3 games the rest of your schedule.
The Yeah, and the other point of discussion, though, is I would also argue is that Washington's flawed, too, among these other groups that are.
But I'm just saying your point, hypothetical where they handle their business in a bad division.
Yes.
But here's the question, then. How many wins will it take to win the NFC East?
11 is my guess. Now, again, that's based on the idea that Philadelphia will do what they have not done yet. That's based on the last few years, with basically this same group at the core, different coaching staff, I'm aware. I mean, the head guy's the same, but different OC, different DC, in some cases. But it's the idea that they'll get right and or they'll do the thing where they unsustainably win, where you're like, they're not better. How are they doing this? Like where they block a kick or, you know, find a way despite not completing a pass in the second half of a game as they won a game earlier this year. But they're in a better spot at 4-2 than Washington is at 3-3. Duh, right? But to me, I don't love the idea of saying, well, let's hope the division's bad to win it, right? Because of the hole that they dug themselves because of how crowded the NFC is. I mean, you never know. I mean, you'd like to give yourself as many opportunities as possible, and they've squandered one here this past Monday, losing to the Bears the way they did.
Teams with the most at stake in Week 7, now I don't know which site's analytics this are. Chris in Hyattsville just tweeted me this. But the only team that will have a bigger swing in terms of playoff chances as far as analytics go this weekend are the Atlanta Falcons, who currently, if they lose, would have a 41% chance to get in, and if they win, would be up to 71%. They'd be at 4-2 because they've had their bye week.
Yep.
And they'll have been rolling, too, over their last couple. It'll be 3 in a row for them. Washington, with a win, would get to 56% likely to make the playoffs in this particular metric.
Okay.
If they lose, it's 27%.
Yeah, there's your swing.
But by the way, if they lose this game, how I answer this question would change. I'm not going to sit here and do the talk radio thing of saying it's a must win. It's October 15th. I won't allow myself to. I'm sorry. That's shouty show stuff. But if you ask me right now, do I think there's a really good chance they make the playoffs? I will say absolutely. If you ask me, if they lose to Dallas and they are 3-4 and they are now a 4-loss team in the NFC already while being 1-1 in the division, still having to play the Eagles twice, that's not a playoff team. I will have a really hard time finding the path to them getting to 10-7 when they've got, in the three after that, Chiefs on the road, Seahawks at your place in primetime, and the Lions at your place, you're probably going 1-2. Maybe you surprise me and you go 2-1. I think I'd be stunned if they somehow got 3-0. But if you're 1-2, you're staring down the barrel at that point of 4-6 through 10 games and needing one of those crazy 05, 07, 12 runs to get into the playoffs.
And you could, but again, counting on that is terrifying. Stuff happens. Stuff goes wrong. The other angle of that too, losing to the Cowboys, is going, okay, are they a playoff team? Because look at the math, look at this. It's like, well, if you drop another game, right? What are we really talking about? If you can't beat this flawed Cowboys team, albeit at home, and you know, they can score points and they're capable. They're not the Jets, they're not horrendous, but they're also not any good. Right, neither are the Bears. If you drop two games
to teams that are
just okay,
yeah,
what are we really doing here?
They're great on offense, they're bad on defense, and they're a solid team. They played the loss to Carolina. You get exposed, you can't stop the run. But they played with Philly.
Yeah,
I mean they've
been in the games. I mean they're fine.
Yes,
they're not this. If you want to go anywhere, come on, man.
Oh, I agree.
Right?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, especially with your whole identity, the entire point of what they've put together is that they can move the ball and score points on people. Isn't that what they are? Isn't that what we wear on our sleeves and on our shirts? I mean, literally, with the no pun offense shirts that we have at the 106.7 The Fan merch store from last season. You've got a quarterback you took second overall who's a star. You can't lose this game. You can't go to Dallas. Now, I'm not saying wins or losses are solely on him, but if you don't go there and score 30 on this defense, if you don't go there and light them up and run effectively, both in the run game and traditionally and with the quarterback and make big plays down the field, I don't care if it's Luke McCaffrey or Jalen Lane. I think Terry will be back. But let's say he isn't. Doesn't really matter. The Cowboys haven't stopped anybody. So, yeah, you're not going to stop them. I don't think it's going to be easy. I don't think you're going to beat them 40-13. But you absolutely should score over 30 points in this game. And you must score 27 or more. Anything less than that against this defense, you just didn't do your job. I get it's a short week. I get it's on the road. That's why I'm nervous, by the way. I'm going to pick a Washington win, but I am nervous. I feel worse about this game than I have about maybe all the games but the Packers game so far this season, possibly.
Just because of how proficient Dallas is on offense, or
no,
just
because
of what you saw?
Because it's a short week, yeah. And it's you go from Monday Night Football to a road trip.
Yeah.
Look at the numbers on Monday night on the road. It's bad. It's a lot harder to win. That's why. But you have to beat this team. If you win, I agree with the numbers. There's a better than 50% chance you make the playoffs because you got your act together. You're 4-3. You got the rest of your season. You're getting healthier. If you don't, it's getting dark early.
And again, it's also the implication, too, where if you're struggling again to beat a team that you're supposed to be better than, then we got to get rid of the supposed to be better than thing. And this is just who you are. This up and down, Jekyll and Hyde, why don't they play well in the first quarter of any game, road game, home game, you know, doesn't matter. If you're falling behind the eight ball and trying to make a comeback, and, you know, last year, again, they didn't play well against the Cowboys in either one of those games. Right, it's a lot of the same cast of characters that are be coming back for you know round number three of this regime versus Dallas. If we can't get over that hump, .. then what's the real conversation? Right, that it's how much more of a magical carpet ride fluke last year really was, as opposed to the start of something where you're now ascendant into the we're good every year because we've got a few pieces category.
Is that going to be what is thought locally, or will it be the injuries, the idea that, well, it's only year two of the build? You know, I've heard that a lot suddenly. Last year was year one of whatever they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
We stopped using the word rebuild pretty quickly.
Because they were winning a bunch. Yeah, 7-2.
They got to the NFC Championship game last year. But after a couple of these losses I've seen, well, remember, it's only the second year of this regime. It's only the second year of the build. And maybe that's fair. But it's not like they're doing it in a sense as a build or as a rebuild. They're the oldest team in the NFL. They're kind of piecemealing it together with veterans. I don't think that's going to stop next year. I think this is kind of the plan. This is what it is. It's Jaden Daniels holding the whole thing up, and then they kind of look for bargain-buy veterans who are fits in their building and in their scheme, and they hope that they can build like a, you know, an 8-ish win roster and with really good coaching. And a superstar quarterback worth three wins or something, then they get to double-digit wins and make the playoffs every year. I think that's kind of the paradigm right now.
Yeah, I think I know why they chose that road, too, because of how, you know, barren the cupboard was from Rivera and all the Martys. So
how long do they get that, too? And I'm not being accusatory of them. I think it's a reality.
I wonder,
we're year two now. They've had two off seasons. You could sign whoever the hell you want, anytime you want. You had a lot of money. And two drafts, which is as many as 14 to 16 players if you want to not trade draft picks. I would say by this time next year, the whole Ron Rivera excuse of like the barren cupboard probably starts to go away from me.
It does, and that's why I'm frustrated about the defense this year, because you were saddled last year. You were stuck. Two guys that are first-round picks that should still be on their rookie deals in Jamin Davis and Emmanuel Forbes are off the roster. You're not going to be good on defense when you're replacing those guys fly by night before their rookie deals end. You're going, your services are no longer required. Same with Jahan Dotson, by the way, at the receiving corps. I understand that. You're cobbling something together. This offseason, you got to remake it more in your image. You showed us that you're willing to do it. Go get Javon Kinlaw. Don't want to pay Jeremy Chinn. Fine. We got Will Harris. We could have moved on from Marshawn Lattimore. Nope. We love him. Keep him. This is who they wanted to be, this group. Right? Last year, it's going, let's throw something at the wall. Let's try Cleveland Farrell and Dante Fowler and whoever the hell's available. They went and got their guys now a little bit more. Not all the way, but a lot more. And it's the same defense from year over year, pretty much. The same results, the same kind of problems, same issues are plaguing them. Next year, when you're now three drafts in, three off seasons in, away from Ron and all the terrible Martys, and how terrible they were. We cannot overstate how terrible they were. That's no longer the excuse to me. But at this point, you're still, you see the what should be. You should have a star linebacker and a star cornerback. You don't. You don't have either of those guys because they were terrible.
Question for you guys. We'll open up the listener lines at 800-636-1067 right now. You can tweet us at Grant H. Paulson on all social, at Funny Danny 4DR. We want to know, what's your level of confidence this team makes the playoffs? And is this weekend going to change how you feel about that? I am a yes, they get into the playoffs vote right now. I think they beat Dallas. They'll have a 56% chance via PFF if they do that. I agree with that. If they were to lose to Dallas, it gets hard for me to find the math with the way that the schedule toughens up. I want to get your thoughts on that on G&D.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
The NFC East seems down, and that's a good thing. But in the NFC, there are a bunch of wild card hopefuls ahead of Washington in the conference standings. And some of those teams have already beaten the Commanders with a head-to-head game in hand. The Chicago Bears added to that list on Monday night with the Atlanta Falcons and the Green Bay Packers. What's your level of confidence in Washington as a playoff team, and how important to that discussion is beating Dallas on Sunday in the 4 o'clock window, the nationally televised Kevin Burkhardt, Tom Brady game? Let's go to Shane in Virginia on Grant and Danny. What's up, Shane? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Commander? What's going on, Lieutenant Grant? How y'all doing today?
Good, buddy.
Chilling, bro.
Hey, there's no chance in hell, right? Have you seen this defense right now in this receiving core? If you think we're making the playoffs right now, it's not Christmas yet. No, absolutely not. And you can think, look, we praised the so far Adam and what he's done. But let's give him some negative now, right? He's not addressing nothing in the defense besides sign old people. That is no team speed whatsoever on defense. Zero team speed. Hell, Vanderbilt's faster than them on defense right now. And look what you've done at the receiver crew right now. When Terry's holding out, you brought in a guy that you knew that could not stay as building a glass house. Like, this is ridiculous. He did nothing to address. All he did was the offensive line, and that offensive line picks are looking pretty shady right now. So, you know, the Lattimore trade, too. I mean, let's call it what it is right now. He's eating a pie face right now, in my opinion.
Thanks,
appreciate
buddy.
You, dude.
I disagree with you on the O-line because I think Tunsil's been a nice addition. Connerly, it's been all quiet on that front, which is a good sign. Over the last few weeks, for the most part.
But there was some pressure this week, or Monday, but yeah.
Yeah, but I think by and large, he's playing like a normal right tackle. As a first-round pick who's going to have some ups and downs, that was a perfectly reasonable pick. And the ascension, I think you feel okay about where he'll eventually be. But if you want to talk about the defensive side of the ball, I think there's plenty of questions that need answered.
Yeah, I tend to agree on the balance sheet for this offseason. A lot of the things where, I mean, I said this last year, when you spend $2 million on Cleveland Farrell and it doesn't work, that's not a problem. So what? Who cares? When you spend $15 million on Javon Kinlaw and it works, that's a big deal. So that has been really good. Lattimore, no. This receiver spot has not been particularly good. Well, how much that's cost him, I think, is a great conversation. We had that in the first hour. But a lot of their decisions, a lot of their calls haven't really borne fruit as you're looking at opportunity for some of the young guys, the Sinnott's, the McCaffreys, even though he's got touchdowns in three of his last four games, still talking about 30% snaps, doesn't really play in a lot of the formations, a lot of the sets. They haven't done much with Jalen Lane yet, some great punt returns and a couple cool moments. But at some point, some of these reinforcements and some of their choices have to bear fruit, and they haven't really for this 3-3 start.
Yeah, so I'm seeing receiver a little bit differently than you guys. The number six offense in the league has not lacked at the receiver position. There have been some drops by Chris Moore, who's forced into duty via injuries for sure. I'd like to have McLaurin and Noah Brown, as we talked about last hour, but I think you've gotten plenty out of Luke. You mentioned the touchdowns in three of four, the 50-yard catch in the other game where he didn't score a touchdown, Lane catching the 30-plus yarder on his only chance to get involved this past week. If they were the number 21 offense, or if they couldn't move the ball, or if the passing game was problematic, or they lost games because they just couldn't score points, I'd feel differently about how to evaluate the receiver room. I think the receiver room's been fine. The offense has been a strength, and it's a non-issue for me. So I'm not going to like ding them there. But I agree with two points that he made. One, anything he said about the defense, pretty much. And then two, the team speed point is a really, really good one. And this is something we should actually talk about maybe tomorrow in a lot more detail. They don't have enough team speed.
They're not fast.
And they have definitely gone in the direction of size, strength, physicality.
Like Scott McLuhan says hi. Like, yeah, he's into like, it.
You're going to feel us. You know, you're going to know what it's like when you play the Commanders. Like, that's the bit they're doing. Think about it. Like, Debo in man coverage, that's not a blow past you, twitchy speed guy. That is, he is the Commanders offense.
Yeah.
And I mean that, like, symbolically of the violence. And
versatile,
the
bruising.
Aggression.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what, and he is the symbolic, like, piece to the larger offense also. That's what they want to be. There's not speed there, especially without Terry right now. For whatever reason, it's not like there's a lot of Jalen Lane, who's the one guy I would consider a burner who could be your Aldrick Robinson and take the lid off. That's a deep cut there. So just throwing out Aldrick Robinson.
Just casually, because he's great in shorts and a t-shirt in the summertime.
2025. Dude, you sleep. 2012, he had huge plays. Remember that? And the number one offense in the league? He probably caught like 4 or 5 50-yard passes that year.
It was like once every 4 or 5 games he would do that.
He would catch a home run. Daryl and Ashburn, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing? You got a great show. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man.
So, the Washington Commanders aren't making the playoffs this year. For one, they got the worst ownership, worst coaches. You let all them guys go last year that we was right a game away from the Super Bowl. Our wide receivers, you let them go. You let Flowers go to Dallas, who had 14 sacks. And Brown, who's hurt all the time, how many touchdown passes has he caught? One. And that was a Hail Mary last year.
That's a pretty big one. But you're right.
Yeah, the one was good. Yeah, you're right.
Your point is not wrong. But yeah, so he only caught one touchdown, the one that changed the world, that everyone still talks about. Like, people are wearing that image on merch that's being sold at the team store currently at the stadium. But I certainly get the point. Noah Brown serves a nice purpose. He is a really good player in what exactly the role that they were looking for, they brought him in for. It's that possession, size, box you out, number two. I would call it like a Z receiver, but it's a lot of that, like, digs, crossers, underneath stuff, middle of the field, in breakers. And him and Daniel seemed to have a good rapport last year on that. If you remember, his first game was against the Giants. And his first catch, I think it was on their final game-winning drive to kick that drive off, where he ran like a 17-yard dig, and they started moving, and they went and got a game-winning field goal. That's when I think of him in this offense, that's what I think of.
Well, early in the season, he was pretty frequently targeted. Right, if you remember.
The now, Packers game was crazy.
Well, what? Yeah, and even last year was also.
Oh, you're talking about last year.
Yeah, and I mean, he was inactive twice in 5 games because, again, he gets hurt all the time and is always missing stuff and is always dealing with injuries.
Well, how many targets did he have in the Green Bay game this year? It was like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
I was shocked by how much they used him. He got hurt in that game, didn't even play the fourth quarter.
There were, in this one, looks like 4 targets, but it felt like more than
that. In like 2 quarters.
Yeah, because it was early, right? But, yeah, I mean, it's frustrating to say they're missing Noah Brown because, I mean, you're right. The offense has been fine. It's always hard to say how good they would be or what else would have been open or what else would have been available, how many more first downs or touchdowns or otherwise. It hasn't been like a glaring weakness just yet, but, you know, we all know you're better with better players. But it's the idea that what's so frustrating is everybody knew he was going to get hurt a bunch. And you don't want to be flippant about that. It's someone's career. But, like, Noah Brown always gets hurt. I got years of sample that says you cannot count on Noah Brown for extended periods of time. And you're just sort of left without him again. I don't really have a better point than that. I just wish there was another option. And maybe, again, it's the graduation of a McCaffrey or a Jalen Lane to a more significant role. But why hadn't they done it for the previous several weeks?
Elijah's in D.C. Elijah, how sure are you the Commanders make the playoffs after their 3-3 start?
I'm kind of sure. I'm kind of sure that they're going to, you know, I think they have an opportunity to still make the playoffs. I still think that that number can still go down if they don't start performing. I don't want to hang my hat on the inconsistency of other teams. It feels like around the league, you know, one week you're great, and the next week it seems like your powers could be zapped by the Monstars. And if we can just get some consistency and you just say, you know, just kind of adding some hay, at some point if we don't begin to see that, we just can't have this checkered win-loss. I think if we take two losses, that completely changes things. It almost feels like, okay, if you lost one, you just got to win the next one. Okay, you lost one. Okay, you just got to win. And I'm just waiting for them to present me some consistency. So my confidence isn't as high as it was. I felt like they was building for Philly in a sense. They tried to look at some things that they were doing wrong and to try to make that change. But it seems like the league is still changing every year. They're the top dog in their own way. But it almost seems like they prepared themselves for something that they're not necessarily getting.
Thanks, Elijah. Sick reference, bro.
The Monstars.
The Monstars. Huh? Dude, your references are out of control. Everyone knows that. Little Jonah Hill for you. Yeah, I get your point on, and that's what happens on the back end of the playoff picture, NFC, AFC. There's going to be the team that looks great one week. And that's how you get to 9-8 or 9-7 with a week to go, because you are a little Jekyll and Hyde. So I think he's on to something with that. But I will say, the arrow is trending up bigly on Atlanta.
Yes.
Penix looks a lot better. Bijan looks like an MVP candidate. Their defense, which was brutal last year, is playing really, really well right now, just shut down the Bills. The arrow is trending up on the Chicago Bears, who've won 3 straight games, just beat you here. The arrow is trending up on Carolina, who just beat the Cowboys, and I think they've won at least 2 in a row. Is the arrow trending down on, who's the arrow down on, I guess?
Philly.
I'm thinking more wild card.
Oh, right.
Maybe Minnesota, coming off of a bye. I think they did get a win in their last game, but quarterback situation's murky. Arrow's trending down on Dallas. Arrow's trending down, I guess, on Washington, or maybe neutral, but I don't like the way things are trending for Seattle, Detroit, the Rams. It's all about Stafford's health. They could still win the division. But I don't know how many of those teams are just going to fall off based on what I've seen. Al's in Hyattsville on Grant and Danny. What's up, Al?
Hey, what's up, boys? How y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
Good, good. My level of confidence is 50-50 at this point. I think it really just plays into what happens in the division. How are we going to handle the division? We already got one against the Giants. That's great. We haven't played anybody else. Cowboys is coming up. You know, so how we do in a division and hopefully a couple of games outside will determine whether we're going to be in the playoffs as a wild card or something else at this point. So I'm 50-50 with it. And here's the thing that really gets me is that people don't – I mean, how do we get Jaden? We sucked. So that was the only way for us to get Jaden. We sucked and we were able to get up high. So for me, it's draft picks too. We need better draft picks, you know, to come in. We need a 6'5 receiver to come in, you know, to help be a part of the squad. We need defensive studs to come in and be able to pick higher. So if we suck this year or don't make the playoffs, I look at it as a positive. So at least it gives us a chance to get some of these better players out of the college ranks. So that's just how I'm seeing it.
Appreciate you. Yeah, I mean, to me, the worst thing you can do is be mediocre in sports, unless it's on the way, unless it's a pit stop. Like if you're the Wizards this year winning 35 games like they did for like a decade straight, that's the worst thing you could do. You want to pick first. Now, when you're ready to win, you should hopefully be really, really good. But the worst thing you can do is be in Seattle's spot last year, 10-7, and miss the playoffs by a tiebreaker. That doesn't help you in nearly any way.
At least in their case, it's year one of a coach. You're overachieved. It's not like you're stuck in neutral. I don't know that the one-off 10-win season with a first-time coach who just changed your culture around is bad. I think it's spinning your tires. It's the Phillies who just refused to rebuild for like 9 years in a row but had no chance before they get a new owner in there to start spending all that money and go get all the players that they did over the last few years. Just that like sports purgatory of mediocrity, terrible. But yeah, if you're Washington this season, you either want to win 10-plus games and get into the postseason or probably go 6-11 or something. just so that you can add more pieces, so that your picks, and a few of them they don't have, let's not forget.
That's right.
They only pick a couple times in the first five rounds. But the picks that you do have, including in round one, are higher up the board. I know that's one of those things that a lot of fans just can't think about,
right,
and can't digest.
Like, and if you can't, then you don't get to root for Jaden Daniels, as far as that's how I would do it. But that's fine.
It's just the reality of how it works.
Right.
Like, the getting mad about picking earlier, but then loving all the guys you pick at the top of the board because they're your best players, because that's how the draft works. Like,
there's such an easy connection. Know? It's right there. Touch it.
Our double play is next. I'm being told that one of the mild-mannered folks behind the scenes here on the show,
there might have been an incident, Grant,
got into it with somebody last night. We're going to get some details on that as part of our double play. Plus, odds for the next head coach in Tennessee, and where does Cliff Kingsbury rank among likely candidates for that Titans job? I got those for you as soon as we come back on The Fan.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
Yeah. I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
G&D, get you to a double play in a moment. 15 minutes from right now, we're giving away Caps tickets to somebody who's listening to The Fan. Could be you. Got to be listening at 4 ahead of the Blitz. Remember, we're at Caddy's in Bethesda on Friday for our field trip series, a Friday field trip on a football day on The Fan. Going to be a lot of fun. Get on out to Caddy's if you're in Maryland over in Bethesda.
From Bethesda!
We will enjoy some food and drinks and be merry and talk football with you on Friday at Caddy's. The odds for the Titans' next head coach via Bet Online. Matt Nagy. His name's back in the cycle. You go back to Kansas City, you work under Andy Reid for a few years, and your name's back out there.
I mean, they've shaken every leaf off the Sean McVay tree, right? There's nobody left. So I guess you got to start going to some of the old faithfuls.
You just have to wait a little while. The leaves will repopulate.
I guess
themselves.
That's right, yeah.
Joe Brady, who is the Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator with Josh Allen, stands to reason he may win an MVP award a couple of years in a row. So he's got 4-1 odds behind Nagy. Arthur Smith, a retread offensive mind, but he's done a pretty good job in Pittsburgh with Aaron Rodgers. They've got just one loss. They got a big game coming up on Thursday Night Football against the Bengals to try to get to 5-1. So you got Nagy, who would be getting a second chance. Smith, who would be getting a second chance. How about this name for the Titans? Mike McCarthy, the Super Bowl champion-winning Packers head coach, who did nothing but win 12 games in Dallas over and over again. Didn't punch through the wall, though, so they got rid of him for Brian Schottenheimer. He's at 6-1. And then number five on this list, most likely head coaching hiring for the Titans, replacing Brian Callahan, who was fired yesterday, Cliff Kingsbury.
Old Cliffy.
7-1. Would that job be appealing enough for Cliff to leave Washington? Cam Ward was the number one overall pick this past year. Uber talented dual threat quarterback. I would think some of what Cliff does, he could take with him, but Cam Ward is much more of a pocket passer. Doesn't really run as much as an athletic guy. Like, he's very much wants to stay in the pocket.
He's out of the Caleb Williams mold to me, right? Yeah. Little bit less dynamic runner. I mean, he can. He's athletic. But to me, that's one of those I look at their last handful of years. GM, coach face off, one loses, one gets fired. GM, coach face off, then the GM gets fired. Then the coach gets fired. GM gets fired. Now coach gets fired. That is not a place that I would go right now, this minute.
I'm not working there list.
I would need that house to be in order. Now, listen, there's only so many jobs, but if you are content waiting, a la which he did last year, certainly came back, and Ben Johnson waited, and other guys have said, you know what, I'm not just going to jump at the first opportunity. There's got to be some chance for success. They need a culture setting, just a minimum level of acceptability. I actually think Mike McCarthy would be a good fit for that. Just saying, I know I'm not going to win here. Right, this is not going to be a 14-3 type team. We just need some basic level professionalism. Just run the way that a pro team is supposed to be run.
And let's face it, a guy like Mike McCarthy, who's going to be getting a third job at that point, you can't be overly choosy. It's not like you're going to get every job that comes open. So if you can get a gig at this point, I would take it. Whereas if you're Cliff, you can absolutely be selective and maybe wait another year or wait for the perfect job, because you're talking about leaving Jaden Daniels in this situation where, as long as you're here, you're going to be a candidate because your offense is probably going to be prolific. Cam Ward probably is going to be the determinant, though. That'll have to be the evaluation, I think. Do I feel good about Cam Ward, yes or no, if I'm Cliff? One of my favorite things, when Paul Toboni sat in here for an hour, when we had him in a little over a week ago now, he said, my wife and I made a list of teams I wouldn't want to work for. And I'm thinking about that when you're talking about the Titans. Are they on Cliff Kingsbury's, like, bad ownership, not doing it list? It's time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers, now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today. Remember, the show tomorrow, Caddies in Bethesda.
Friday. It's on Friday, man.
Friday. Yeah. Today's Wednesday.
I know it's been a long day for you already.
I woke up at 4 a.m.
You've had like 2 days today.
Yes.
So, the Fitness Boys, Workout Wednesday was today. Missed you and Darius. You were on a plane, though. Ryan, Toby, and myself were going through our stuff. During one of our little bits of downtime, a story was teased to me that the boys went to the Caps game last night, Toby and Ryan did, and there was an incident, and that's all I know, and they said, we're going to save it for the air. That's what I have. I don't know anything about this. I'm hearing this for the first time.
What happened last night, gentlemen?
Yeah, so thanks to GP with hooking us up for tickets. So we went to...
Well, it was not me. So our guys, Kondori and Murad, the law firm that sponsored the show, sent your boy a couple of tickets, and I said, good, somebody with the show will use these, and you were that somebody.
Yeah, they sponsored Grant, who sponsored you guys.
Yeah, so we were thrilled to be at the game. We enjoyed a nice Caps win last night, and before the game, both of us were starving, so we get to our seats, and we're just looking around, purveying the options for food, and we find a chicken tender stand. So we go with chicken tenders. Rhino orders before me. You know how it is, the little kiosk thing you order off of, and then you get your little receipt or whatever, and then they hand you, and it's usually really quick, especially for a chicken tender stand. They're not serving a whole lot of different options, so they're all ready to go. So Rhino orders his, gets his stuff, immediately is going to grab sauces. I order, and I'm standing there waiting, and the lady's standing there yelling, 924? 924? And I'm looking down at mine, says like 877. So I'm like, it's not me.
Not you?
Not me. So then she's like, all right, whatever. And she's like, what number are you? I'm like, here's my thing. And what had happened was someone had ordered just before me. And I guess didn't take their receipt or something. I don't know. So I handed her a receipt that had just a chicken tender and no soda. I had clearly ordered a soda. And then there was a bit of an issue there. She's like, I'm like, I ordered soda. I should get one of these, right? She's like,
so you grabbed the wrong receipt.
Apparently. So it's partially my fault. But then she's like, you can't get a soda. You didn't order one. My receipt here says you didn't order one. I'm like, look, lady, I can show you I can show
did you, look
you
lady her.
I literally pulled out my phone because I pay with my Apple card, and I'm like,
Clary,
I can
did
show
you look lady her.
No, he did not. But Toby was pretty animated. Like I was like, oh wow, like this is something.
This is new ground.
This right, is
so,
new ground.
So the,
did he turn his hat around for Toki?
I want to make sure
he
I understand. Not. You didn't. There was a receipt, I guess, next to your actual receipt. You just picked up the wrong one, and that's the confusion.
It must have printed out, like you know how it prints out, and the person before didn't grab it. So I thought I grabbed the correct one.
Oh,
and I grabbed
so it's still attached. I
correct.
Got it.
So I thought I grabbed the correct one. I hand her one that only had chicken tenders, and so I understand the frustration.
But you've been charged for a soda.
I'm like, look, this is not for just chicken tenders, because I can assure you that paying
what was the charge?
$34.66. I can promise you that $34.66 was not just chicken tenders. So I'm like, look, I paid more because I could show you my immediate receipt. And so there was a whole argument back and forth, and she's frustrated. I may have thrown a few jabs afterwards, and she may have thrown. And afterwards, we're all good. We enjoyed our chicken tenders at our seats and watched Caps win. But
Larry, you were a bystander. Can we get a little more insight?
Yeah, so I was over getting my honey mustard, my ketchup, and I'm walking back over, and Toby's still waiting. And then all of a sudden, I get closer, and the lady's yelling, get the right ticket. And Toby yells back, well, tell the person to take their ticket. And she's like, well, take your correct ticket. And he's like, I did. He goes, you guys messed it up. It wasn't on me. Why is this on me? And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, what is going on?
What is going on?
Wow.
Because Toby, again, like,
why are
we
you
all
so
know?
Animated, Toby? I didn't even think you had that gear.
Look, man, I don't get frustrated with anybody. I hardly ever get frustrated with anybody aside from my football team on
sounds
Mondays
like
when
you got frustrated
when
Jayden
Daniels can't handle a wet football. Like, that frustrates me.
Somebody.
But I don't generally get frustrated at people. When someone's showing me attitude for no reason, you're going to get some attitude in return.
So I think that that's a very reasonable. Now, I think you screwed up more than they screwed up. Not purposefully.
Correct.
I mean, Clary, you're laughing, but like...
I'll own this.
You had the wrong receipt. But this is how easy this should be, by the way. First of all, the customer is right in this situation. We're talking about overpriced chicken tenders that should cost $6. You're charging them $17. You're at a stadium. That you giving him those chicken tenders or not does nothing for you.
Yeah, and what's the accusation? This is my grand scheme that I go around to sporting events and stealing sodas.
Are you Beth Aramark? Okay, it does not matter to you whether you give him the chicken tenders or not. I promise you no one will know the difference at the end of the night. But also, as soon as you show her, here's how simple this
should have
been.
Well, she wouldn't look. She wouldn't look at it.
That's her. I mean, again, but that's the thing. You're going to get it's the attitude. It's the I'm annoyed by you. It's that. Also bothers me. That was my issue with the referee. I don't normally go all in on referees. It's this guy's like condescending, terrible attitude, energy vampire, loser attitude where I was like, I can't not do anything. This guy stinks. He's just mistreating all these kids who literally can't do anything. I'm a grown-up. I just get told to go near the hot dogs.
Yeah, I get kicked out. That's fine.
Yeah. And this guy sucked. So that's what annoyed me. And I think for you that you're going, okay, this lady's the worst. That's kind of where this was.
Yeah, I mean, I was just frustrated that you're giving me an attitude. We had a clear misunderstanding. I don't know that anyone really screwed up in this situation. I grabbed the wrong ticket, which can happen, right? When someone doesn't grab theirs, it just and you're obviously looking at a ticket that says it didn't, but I'm showing you that I paid for it. This isn't
so
that
she
difficult.
Would never look at your phone.
No, she would not. I'm like,
this is how simple it should have been. Hey, $34. She goes, oh yeah, that's definitely a drink. No problem. Also, I wouldn't have even gone that far. When you are swearing to me, you're going, hey, listen, I got a drink. I'm just giving you a drink because there's 9,000 of those.
Let's do the next thing.
You know what's more important? This line not building up, me not getting into a shouting match with, you know, Toby Altizer. Sweet Prince Toby Altizer.
Little Tobes.
All right, so Ryan, last word on this then from you. 1 to 10 me. 10 being... I'm going to have to separate him from this person, and, like, this is embarrassing.
This is, like, fully in the red token.
If someone records, like, CK is going to talk to him about it tomorrow, and then one is like, it's an honor to be here, madam. Thank you for these chicken tenders. Where were we in the exchange?
I would say he was at a 5.
Okay.
Like, we were at a 5. The best part was, in my opinion, was that the lady slammed down the cup, and just we didn't really talk about that afterwards. We just talked about the fact that she was very rude to Toby, but she, like, slammed it. She's like, fine, take your soda. And Toby's like, I will.
Love
yeah,
that.
I said something along like, appreciate the attitude or something like that on the way out.
Appreciate the attitude.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Now I'm escalating this to a 6.
Oh, that's a 6.5.
No, it's funny because I love my mom more than anything in the world. My mom does things like that, and I'm always like, Mom, please. And then I did that, and I was like, That's my mom.
It's happened. Like, you're the progressive commercial turning into your parents.
Is your mom the lady that like you don't want to go to a restaurant with because she's going to like complain about things?
And... She's not overbearing, but if you get her order wrong, she's going to be like, look, I ordered this. You're going to give me this. There's nothing wrong with what she does, but it's she's going to make sure she gets what she ordered, and that's kind of what I did last night.
Don't mess with Mrs. Altice.
I appreciate the attitude.
You guys have no idea how much I really mean that. Do not mess with Mrs. Altizer. Grant and Danny on the fan. Darius, Ryan, Toby behind the scenes today. Someone's winning Caps tickets as soon as we return ahead of the Beltway Blitz.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.